I'll be talking about client accounting in hybrid CDNs, and this is joint work with researchers from Max Planck Institute for Software Systems, University of Pennsylvania, Duke, and Akamai Technologies. I think we all know what a content distribution network is. Whenever a client wishes to download a piece of content, it is redirected to the closest CDN server or the infrastructure from where it can efficiently fetch the file. Content providers or the customers pay the CDN for distributing this content. Increasingly, CDNs have started to adopt a peer-assisted or a hybrid distribution model, where when a client downloads a piece of content, part of it comes from the infrastructure and the rest comes from other clients who have downloaded the same file. This model combines the advantages of peer-to-peer systems, that is the cost-effective scalability, along with the reliability and manageability of a centralized CDN. And there are multiple commercial CDNs already offering such services. But now that you're relying on clients to partially distribute your content, it creates a fundamental challenge. These clients are untrusted, and the infrastructure cannot observe the peer-to-peer interactions happening between these clients. And there are various things which could go wrong because of that. In principle, clients can mishandle content. They can modify the content before serving it. They can try injecting new content or even censor some of it. They can even affect service quality by delaying or aborting transfers. Or they can misreport their interactions with other clients. In practice, CDNs already do handle some of these problems. For example, they provide signed metadata so that clients can verify the integrity of content before it is eventually made available. Clients also fall back on the infrastructure in case of delayed or aborted transfers to maintain service quality. But both these solutions don't handle the key problem which is inherent to these hybrid systems. That is, the infrastructure cannot observe the peer-to-peer interactions happening between the clients. And clients, as a result, can simply misreport. Take, for example, a client C claims that it downloaded 1 terabyte of data from A and B. A says that it never uploaded anything, and B claims that it only uploaded 0.1 terabyte. Now, since the CDN provider did not observe these interactions directly, it does not know what actually happened or who to believe. And it might so happen that the CDN ends up reporting downloads that never happened back to its customers, which can be fairly embarrassing for the CDN. And this is just one of the problems. Clients can still affect service quality by serving bad content. Signed metadata can ensure that clients don't end up with incorrect content eventually, but the CDN provider would still like to identify clients who deliberately try to do that so that they can possibly remove them from peer-to-peer interactions. Both these problems, or attacks if they are deliberate, highlight a key requirement. That is, the CDN requires a way which would allow them to reliably account for these client activities. And these attacks are not fictitious. We actually carried out one such attack on Akamai NetSession. Akamai NetSession is a service offered by Akamai to its customers for distributing large content, such as software installers or videos. It consists of clients running NetSession software, which is installed on their machine with permission when they download some content from a NetSession-enabled customer. And on Akamai's side, we have the edge servers who actually hold the content and the controllers who maintain a global view of the system. So when a client C wants to download a file, it sends a request to the controller, which returns it a list of other clients, A and B, who hold the same content. It also receives signed metadata from the edge servers. In the background, controller also contacts A and B, telling them to expect C to contact them. C then contacts these clients and the edge server and downloads the file. The important point to note here is that C cannot contact any other client besides A and B because the controller would not have told those clients about C. Once the download finishes, it verifies with metadata and reports a completion back to the controller. Periodically, the downloader sends status reports stating the number of bytes they have downloaded since the last status report. And it is these status reports which form the basis of constructing the accounting logs which are eventually made available to the customer. And if we can manipulate these status reports, then in theory, we can manipulate the accounting logs as well. And this is something what we did to carry out the attack. The aim of our attack was to have an unmodified net session client report fake downloads. And this is what we term as an inflation attack. And we performed this attack with Akamai's permission, and we targeted a dummy customer. I will not be presenting the details of the attack here, for which I will refer you to the paper. But the important point to note here is that we were able to observe our fake downloads in these accounting logs for that customer. And this graph is obtained from those logs. It shows that our client downloaded data at the rate of 30 gigabytes per hour for a span of 1 day. And in fact, we could have done much worse. We could have reported arbitrary speeds had we chosen to modify the client software. The key takeaway here is that in these hybrid systems, even a single client can cause significant accounting inaccuracies. And there is it strongly motivates that the CDNs need a mechanism which will allow them to reliably capture all these client activities. So till now, I have talked about an inherent problem these hybrid CDNs face, that is, they cannot observe the peer-to-peer interactions happening between the clients, and clients can simply misreport them or even try to affect service quality. And there is a need for a way which will allow the CDN to reliably account for these activities. Next, I would like to present Reliable Client Accounting, or RCA, the system we built which provides a solution to this problem. And before I describe the system, I would like to take a step back and identify a certain set of attacks which I'll be covering during the course of this presentation. First set of attacks are the ones in which the client software misbehaves in such a way that its network visible behavior deviates from that of a correct client. These include, first, all unilateral deviations from the correct protocol. For example, you can have one malicious client trying to misreport its interactions from other honest clients. Or you can even have that client trying to serve bad content in order to affect service quality. Next, you can have a group of malicious clients colluding together to misreport their activities. This is possible, but this is made difficult in practice because the clients are assigned peers by the infrastructure and they cannot randomly contact anyone. The other set of attacks are the ones in which the client software might be correct, but the behavior of the user behind the client software might be suspicious. For example, you could have a user repeatedly downloading a file to artificially drive up demand for a particular customer. And this can be amplified by a Sybil attack, where the user creates multiple clients and then performs these downloads. And note that these kind of attacks are not unique to hybrid systems. They also exist in the centralized CDNs as well. It will become clear later in the talk that RCA can deterministically detect these unilateral deviations from the protocol, and for the rest, it requires certain probabilistic or statistical checks, which RCA enables. So let me start with a brief overview of RCA. Each client in the system is supposed to record their network activity in a tamper-evident log. So when A wants to send a message to B, it creates a record of that message in its log. And then when B receives the message, it also creates a record for that message. Periodically, all these logs are uploaded to the infrastructure where the client's activities are verified. And if the infrastructure concludes that a certain client is malicious or is suspicious, then it quarantines the client. That is, it disallows the client from participating in peer-to-peer interactions, but still allows the client to download from the infrastructure. So let me start with the first one. How do you reliably capture client activity? And for that, RCA uses tamper-evident logging and log consistency checks and builds on top of peer review published in SOSP 2007. And in case you're not familiar with the approach, I'll briefly introduce it. So take, for example, you have two clients, A and B. When A wants to send a message, it creates an entry for that message in its log. Along with that, it creates a hash which is constructed using the contents of the current entry along with the hash of the previous entry. So essentially, these log entries form a long hash chain. And then this hash is signed by A's private key and included in every message A sends out. These signed hashes are called authenticators, and they essentially make A commit to its entire event history. Further details are presented in the paper, but it can be shown that during the log consistency checks, these log hash chains, along with the authenticators, are sufficient to verify whether all clients report a consistent sequence of the messages exchanged. And this allows the CDN to identify cases where A sends a message, but then later tries to hide that information, or tries to claim that it served something else, or it can even identify situations where A tries to report fake interactions from other honest clients. The overhead of these log consistency checks is dominated primarily by the signature verification overhead. And that is proportional to the number of authenticators present in the log. Previous implementations recorded one authenticator for each message exchanged. And that created a huge overhead on the infrastructure because it had to verify one authenticator for every network message exchanged in the system. RCA's implementation is significantly optimized, keeping this in mind. And it records only two authenticators for each client A communicates with. So the overhead reduces to the order of number of communicating client pairs, which is significantly less than the total number of messages in the system. Further details of the optimization are presented in the paper, but what I'd like you to remember is that RCA provides a consistent record of the network messages exchanged, and these can be efficiently verified on the infrastructure. So now that all the clients agree upon what messages were exchanged in the system, it does not mean that the client is correct. A consistent record can still be implausible. For example, let's say we have a client who is trying to contact peers it was not assigned, or a client which is trying to serve bad content in order to affect service quality. In both these cases, the network visible behavior of that client deviates from that of a correct client. And then to identify these cases, we have plausibility checks. Plausibility checks take the input as an tamper-evident log and verify whether the log is consistent with some valid execution of the client software. And to keep the verification overhead low on the infrastructure, we model net session as a simple state machine. We first manually identified a certain set of rules which a correct client must obey. These rules could say, for example, the client should not be seen communicating with anyone else besides the set of assigned peers, or the client should always serve correct content. Once we have these set of rules, we can verify the logs against these rules by inputting the messages available in the log into the state machine and then comparing the outputs generated by the state machine with the ones available in the log. And if these outputs don't match, then we have evidence that the client is incorrect. So till now, I have talked about how RCA allows you to reliably capture client activity and then use that to identify clients who unilaterally deviate from the correct protocol, such as one single malicious client trying to misreport its activities from other honest clients. But you can have a group of malicious clients colluding together to misreport their activities. Or the other set of attacks, where the client software is correct, but the behavior of the user behind the client software seems suspicious, such as repeatedly downloading a file. And for that, we require statistical checks. Statistical checks essentially look for anomalous client behavior. These could be as simple as flagging a client who downloads more than a certain threshold, or as complicated as trying to identify a group of clients who tend to download a lot from each other. For example, let's say there is a file which is mostly popular in Western Europe. Now it suddenly becomes extremely hot among a small set of users in South America. Now this certainly can raise suspicion, and analyzing client communication patterns can help CDN identify those group of clients. Similarly, there's a large body of prior work which we can leverage for our purpose. But all of these assume the availability of correct information about the system. And this is what RCA enables. RCA, with its tamper-evident logging, provides a sound basis for anomaly detection, which allows us to reuse all the previous work in the case of hybrid CDNs. So now we know how to reliably capture client activity and then use that to identify malicious or suspicious clients. But then what do we do with these clients? Well, we can simply blacklist these clients, that is, kick them out of the system. But what happens if a CDN kicks an innocent out of the system, innocent client out of the system? That can be quite a nightmare for the CDN. Better still, use the infrastructure and quarantine the client. That is, disallow the client from participating in peer-to-peer interaction, but still let the client download from the infrastructure. And the good part about quarantining is that it is safe. If we accidentally quarantine an innocent client, then it doesn't affect its service quality. It only slightly increases the load on the infrastructure. And even more importantly, quarantining allows us to build aggressive anomaly detectors. And by aggressive, I mean detectors which could potentially have high false positive rates. And this is because quarantining provides a way to safely handle false positives. So we can build statistical checks which, at the slightest of suspicion, quarantine the client. So I have presented reliable client accounting, which provides a solution to this problem, and first by reliably capturing client activity, then using that to identify misbehaving or suspicious clients using a set of deterministic or probabilistic checks or statistical checks, and then provides a way to handle these clients without affecting service quality. Next, I would like to present a few evaluation numbers. We evaluated RCA by implementing a clone of the client software along with the net infrastructure software. And we performed experiments in a network emulation environment which were driven by actual client activity traces obtained from Akamai Net Session. And the aim of our experiments was to reproduce download activity of 500 randomly selected clients. We evaluated RCA on various parameters, which I can broadly classify into client's perspective and the CDN's perspective, and I'll present a few of them. So now that the clients are supposed to exchange signatures over the network with other clients and also upload logs to the infrastructure, that means that they're exchanging more network data than simply exchanging the content. And that is what we call as network overhead. It might seem that RCA's network overhead is high as compared to Net Session's overhead, but if we look at the absolute numbers, then the average extra bandwidth required is still fairly small, around 192 kilobytes per day per client. Creating signatures and verifying also has a CPU overhead on the client. And that was also observed to be fairly small, around 0.5% at the maximum in our experiments. And if we have these clients uploading logs on a daily basis to the infrastructure, then the storage required on the client for keeping these logs is also fairly small, around 100 kilobytes per day. To evaluate from the CDN's perspective, we used our previous numbers and extrapolated them for a large deployment consisting of 100 million clients who download about 100 petabytes of data per month. And for this large deployment, the CDN would have to collect around 0.05 petabytes of logs per month and will require 35 machines to process these logs to verify. And just for comparison, Net Session as of December 2011 has 25 million clients downloading 0.85 petabytes per month and uses 10 machines for log processing. We also tried injecting various attacks in our experiment, and as expected, RCA was able to catch them. Before I conclude, I'd like to present some related work. Misbehavior in peer-to-peer system has been observed empirically, such as collusion among the users of maze file system. Systems such as Dandelion or Ant Farm, which use cryptographic virtual currencies, can handle certain type of misbehaviors in peer-to-peer systems, such as selfish clients. That is, those clients who misbehave in order to increase their own performance. RCA, on the other hand, does not aim for fairness. That is, clients are not required to upload data in order to download any data. and it also considers more general Byzantine behavior as well. RCA also includes anomaly detection, and in this regard can benefit from decades of research in this area, such as intrusion detection, or more recently, systems which allow you to detect botnets by analyzing client communication patterns. RCA, in fact, complements all of these techniques by using tamper-evident log and re-enables the use of all these techniques in case of hybrid CDNs. So in conclusion, I have introduced to you a fundamental challenge these hybrid CDNs face. That is, the infrastructure cannot observe the peer-to-peer interactions happening between the clients. And these clients can simply misreport them or even try to disrupt service quality. We have demonstrated that commercially deployed hybrid systems are vulnerable to these problems by carrying out an inflation attack on AkamaiNet session. I've presented reliable client accounting, a system we built which provides a solution to this problem by first reliably capturing client activity, using that to identify malicious or suspicious clients using a set of deterministic and statistical checks, and then providing a way to safely handle these clients without affecting service quality, namely by quarantining them. And quarantining also allows us to build aggressive anomaly detectors or statistical checks because it provides a safe way to handle false positives. We applied RCA to AkamaiNet session and evaluated it using client activity traces obtained from net session. And the results suggest that the RCA overhead is reasonable. With that, I conclude my talk. Thank you for listening. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Hi, Vyas from Intel Labs.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Okay.
Vyas from Intel Labs. Had a quick question, and maybe my investors. The way I understand these things work is the player or the software is controlled by Akamai or the CDN,
yes.
Right? So the player is, the software is something you control. So why are you worried about these attacks if you can control the software? And in some sense, by having them do peer review or whatever, you are controlling the software to run within that VM. Why do you worry about attacks if you control the software?
So certainly the software which is running on the client is written by Akamai or the CDN, and you can program it to be correct. But these clients are untrusted. It's running on untrusted machines. And clients can like try to modify client software. And even I presented a few attacks which you can, by modifying the client software, you can cause significant accounting inaccuracies. Essentially, these clients are untrusted.
But so, detecting modified software is pretty easy, right? You just do a hash of the code and that's pretty trivial.
Yeah, that certainly. Trusted computing can help us a lot. But the availability of trusted computing right now is also debatable.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, Srinivas from Princeton University. This is really interesting work. I was really intrigued by the attacks that you presented. So could you talk a little bit about the incentives that people might have to actually carry out those attacks? Thanks.
So let's see. So first of all, you can think of it as this way, that you can carry out some sort of a click fraud against a particular customer by repeatedly downloading a file and try to drive up its billing. Or it also undermines the CDN's reputation, because let's say you're presenting this information back to the customer, but there is this big anomaly in the system, and you don't know how that happened. So from the point of view of the CDN, it is very important. And if a client wants, then they can just simply drive up the demand for a certain customer. And that's, I mean, and also the fact that it does not happen right now does not mean that it cannot be done. These systems are fairly new, and as they attract more attention, they will attract more attacks as well.
Colin Dixon, IBM Research. So you said basically that if a client is classified as malicious, you serve it directly from the infrastructure, which as a client, I view as desirable as a general rule, because infrastructure tends to serve me lower latency and higher aggregate bandwidth. So have you sort of come around and encouraged me to, I now want to violate it not in order to do anything perverse to your logs, but merely in order to get access to better service.
So, well, actually, you can simply blacklist a client which you're sure about that it misbehaved. But this might not be acceptable to the CDN provider because it's providing services to these clients. So quarantining provides a safe way of doing that. And it's primarily from the perspective of the CDN that you would still like to keep quality of service to these clients. You can simply blacklist. I mean, we have ways to deterministically detect if a client is misbehaving, and if the CDN would like to blacklist, please go ahead. Yes, exactly. Clients can also opt out of peer-to-peer uploading. They can simply disable this thing on the client. It's fairly easy to do that.
Tudor Dumitras, Symantec Research. I'm not as familiar with NetSession, but I was wondering if it is possible for a client to carry out an attack where he will download a file that he's not supposed to have access to. And in that case, is there anything that RCA could do about it?
Well, the access control
To give a little bit of background, a similar attack was described last year against Dropbox, where you could just tell them that you would just tell them the hash of the file, and then because they do deduplication, they would not check that you actually have that file, so you'd be able to download it even though you did not really have the file in the first place.
So something like this can be carried out on a centralized CDN as well, I imagine. I'm not completely aware of this attack which you're talking about, but you can do that on a centralized CDN as well. So it's not something which we have introduced, and these kind of access controls should primarily be handled by the CDN. I mean, if the client is being allowed to download a file, then we cannot handle that.
Can I turn your conclusion over its head and let's say I have multiple CDNs, and having a CDN itself means that I lose visibility over what is served by the CDN to my end users, and I want to say that, not that I'm attributing some CDN is malicious, but I really want to verify my spike in the bill is actually valid, or if I change CDNs, my monthly bill has gone up. So in order to verify that my bill is what it is, can I still use RCA to validate Akamai's claim, or Akamai's bill to me?
So certainly, we are providing ways to have peers not lie about their activities. And this gets translated into what customers eventually see. So you could in theory, use that. But I mean, essentially, you are trying to cut down on possible ways these anomalies could be introduced in the log. And in some sense, we increase the accuracy for doing that, as you suggest. I'll be happy to take that offline.
Yeah. I have a question about the scalability of the system. The systems that actually check on a per block basis, they will end up doing checks that are O of N times the size of the content you're distributing, so O of NS. People who do your system with checks pairwise is going to end up doing O of N squared. Now, granted, S is a large number, the constant in front of the N squared is very small, but have you worried about the scalability of the system at all?
So certainly, scalability was a big concern, and the plausibility checks which we develop, which go through the log and identify these things, are essentially trying to verify hashes. But that has been a key goal in our optimizations as well. And I can imagine various techniques to reduce this overhead of hashing, trying to verify with the hashes.
Great, thank you. Let's thank the speaker once again.